On this Monday after the Feast of Epiphany, we hear in the Gospel of St. Matthew our Lord really beginning his public ministry with the preaching of penance and with the working of miracles. What we hear him say in St. Matthew's account is, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." What we see him do in this passage is to show the people that indeed the kingdom of heaven is at hand by means of the miracles that he works, the people that he cures, and the possessed that and lunatics that he delivers, and the paralytics that he has stand up and walk. Our Lord preaches penance and then shows forth his might and his glory so that we might know that it is his voice that will bring about the forgiveness of our sins. Our Lord does this in the flesh. He does this in a visible way, in a way in which everyone can see and hear. And it is by means of the visual, carnal reality of the incarnation and the fact that this Word, the Word of God, the eternal Word of the Father, who speaks in human language and backs up everything that he has to say with deeds of power. It is in this way that we come to know the truth and see that it is indeed from God and are able, through his grace, to assent to the teaching of Jesus with all our hearts and all our minds. St. John, in his first letter today, tells us that this is the case. This is how you can know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges Jesus Christ come in the flesh belongs to God. And every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus does not belong to God. And the spirit of the Antichrist is that spirit by which the incarnation and the fleshly existence of Christ is denied. And today it is denied, not only in the fact that Jesus is not acknowledged as Lord by many, but by others who do acknowledge Jesus as Lord, they don't acknowledge the fact that he still comes to us in the flesh. The church, you might say, is an extension of the flesh of Christ. Not only because in the holy sacrifice of the Mass that we receive Jesus in the Eucharist in his fleshly existence, although present to us sacramentally in the form of the Eucharist, but also because the church remains the visible sign of Christ's presence in the world and of his truth. And that's what's denied more than anything else in today's world, is that Jesus Christ still speaks through his church and through the visible signs that he has himself established, that is, through the bishops and the Holy Father, and the bishops in union with the Holy Father. We live in troubled times, times in which there are many voices, and voices that speak words of confusion, whether they come from the side of secularism or the side of religion or sometimes even from the side of tradition. Because the spirit by which we acknowledge Christ coming in the flesh is a spirit of humility and obedience. Because our Lord, in fact, when he came into this world, came to humble himself and to obey. The incarnation itself was a profound and infinite act of humility. This is what causes us so much joy as we celebrate Christmas, that God should have loved us so much that he should humble himself and then come to obey his mother, but not only the Immaculate Conception and Saint Joseph, his holy foster father, but even wicked men who would ultimately put him to death. So the way that our Lord has shown us, the way of repentance, the way that he has backed up with his deeds of wonder and glory, is the way of humility and obedience. Of course, this is the way that the world does not accept and will quite explicitly and vocally reject. But sometimes, on the part of Orthodox Catholics or traditionalists, while in principle this is accepted, in practice we get in the habit of being disrespectful to the bishops and sometimes even the Holy Father, and setting ourselves up as sort of armchair theologians to carry on the spirit of criticism. And while, you know, priests and bishops do make mistakes, I think it becomes a dangerous habit of mind when we submit our superiors, especially the bishops and the Holy Father, to our own policing and analysis. Sometimes even something comparable to what happens with Bible Christians happens with those who are of tradition and orthodoxy. Instead of thumping the Bible, we thump the Catechism of the Council of Trent and bounce off everything that this bishop or that bishop, or sometimes even what the Holy Father says, against something that had been previously written down in magisterial documents. And while it is true, the ordinary magisterium of the Church is established by its consistency with what has already been determined by the Church and the magisterium. In other words, if a pope just comes out one day and says something in a homily or in a Wednesday audience that is completely out of line with what has come before, then of course it's not part of the ordinary magisterium of the Church. But that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the habit of mind by which subjects are constantly analyzing their superiors, especially when it comes to Catholics in the pews, or even priests or traditionalists or Orthodox Catholics who are constantly submitting what bishops say or what the Holy Father says to submitting it to their analysis of the Church tradition and the Church documents. And it very much becomes like Protestant Bible thumping. And it is not the spirit of Jesus Christ. It is not the spirit of humility. The fact of the matter is, in each and every age of the Church, there has been a living magisterium. There have been schisms, yes. There has been anti-popes and confusing times. There is no question. But our Lord set the Church up in such a way that it works when there's a visible head, and it works when we are submissive to the living teaching magisterium. Even when, for example, Catholics just do something very simple, such as go to confession, they submit themselves, in that case, to the judgment of a fallible man. There's no guarantee that the priest is infallible in the confession. He's not the Pope, and he's not speaking on issues of faith and morals. We submit our sins to the judgment of the priest, and through the sacrament, working through the weak material of this fallible man, God works the sacrament. We submit our case to the priest, and he determines whether or not we're repentant of our sins, and he gives us the advice that hopefully in a prayerful way he believes is appropriate to us, and then he gives us absolution. And we can walk out of that confessional wondering whether or not we are forgiven, or whether or not we've gotten the best advice, or whether or not we've been guided properly. And there's no guarantee that the priest is infallible. But that is the act of humility which Jesus Christ himself set up for us to receive the forgiveness of our sins. That is the way the church works. It doesn't work in any other way. So if we're constantly analyzing everything that superiors or bishops or even sometimes, unfortunately, the Holy Father says, we don't have the Spirit of Christ. I don't care what any traditionalist says or whatever document they want to thump. That is the way the church works. That's what our Lord himself did. That's what the saints did. For example, that's what Padre Pio did. Traditionalists will often quote Padre Pio as their champion. Padre Pio never spoke out publicly against any of his superiors, even when he was being persecuted, even when he was being accused of soliciting in the confessional, even though he didn't particularly care for the Novus Ordo, he never spoke out. That is simply a fact. And so that should be a sign to us of the Spirit by which we should confront our age, our secular age, our godless age, our age in which there is a crisis of faith, and sometimes a crisis of faith among the clergy and among those who hold positions of responsibility. We are challenged often to deal with very complicated and difficult situations, but we need to have the Spirit of Christ. We could imitate St. John Neumann, whose feast we celebrate today, because he was a great leader, a holy man, someone who was a bishop, of course, and who had the care of souls. But his attitude was that of humble service to the flock entrusted to his care. And he had the spirit of obedience and humility. So that's what we need. And that's the only way we're going to be able to confront the problems that we encounter in the world today. That is the Spirit of Christ. The way Christ has shown us is the way of humility and obedience.
Et Jesus.